The Gemara and the middle of Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, smack in the middle. In my Gemara, it's the first word in the line, but some of yours may be a little different of a structure. It's for the word Rava. It says Rava Ikla LaHagronia. Rava came to a place called Hagronia, and we're going to see a lot of more stories today, different Rabbanim who dealt with different fasts and the challenges that come along with that. Rava visited Gronia. Gazer Tanisa V'lo Asr Mitra. He decreed a fast. But the rain did not come. Amar Lahu, so when the rain didn't come, he said to the tzibor, he said to everybody, Bisu kuli alma betanisaichu, which means everybody continue fasting. Lamachar, the next, and usually the fast ends at nighttime. This time the rain didn't come, and he said, don't eat yet, continue your fast. The next day, Amar Lahu, he said to them, Miika dechaza chilma. Did anyone here see a dream? Anyone here have a dream they saw that might shed light into what's going on around us right now? Lema, if you someone saw here saw a dream, say it now. Amalu, Rabbi Elazar Meagronia. Rabbi Elazar Meagronia piped up and he said, Lididi Akaryon Bechalme. In my dream, Akaryon Bechalme means I saw myself saying in my dream. Right now we're in the first of the widest lines of the Chav Dalet Amud Beis we just started. In my dreams, I saw myself saying, Shalem Tav L'Rav. Sorry, Bechalme. Shalem Tav L'Rav, Tav Meribon. Shalem Tav means, again, Shalem Tav means, you know, good greetings. L'Rav Tav, to a good teacher. Meribon Tov, from a kind master, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Din Mituvei Meitiv L'Amei. From his kindness, he will give goodness to his nation. Meaning this dream he had was where he had he saw himself saying that the master, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will provide the teacher with goodness. That's what he responded to Rava when Rava was asking, did anyone here have a dream? So the Gemara says, based upon that that report, Amar Shema Mina, Eis Ratzoni. Must be, we hear from this, that this is a time we should be, we are thankful for. Hashem is going to give us, hopefully, sustenance and care for us. Mi-bay-rach-mi, we should daven. So, bay-rach-mi, v'asim mitra. And that's what he did. They davened, and Baruch Hashem, it did rain. Another story, second into the second wide lines on the page. Hu-gavra, the Ichayev Nagda. There was a man, Bebedina de Rava. There was a man who was Chayev Nagda, says Rashi, means Malkus. He was Chayev Malkus in the basin of Rava, Mishum de Baal Kutis, because he slept with a non-Jewish lady. Nagde Rava, Umis Rava gave him lashes, but unfortunately it was miscalculated and the person died during the lashes. Isham Milsa Beishwur Malka. This matter became heard in the Beishwur Malka, in the house of the king, Shwur Malka. It's Melech. It's not Malka like with a hey, but Melech in Aramaic. Shvur Malka, the king Shvur, heard what took place. Boiled it through the Rava. He wanted to now go and hurt Rava. He wanted to go and punish Rava for what he did. Amrle Ifra Hormuz, he made this for Malka Libra. So Ifra Hormuz, that's her name. She says she's the mother of Shvur Malka. She was like the mother of the king. She said to her son, Libra, lo lehavi lach esek. Do not get involved with them. Dvarim v'hada yudai. Do not get involved with the Jews, meaning get in their own room. Don't get involved. The choman debayin mimarayu yoivlu. The choman, anyone or anything that they ask, marayu, they ask for their master, yoivlu, he gives it to them. And therefore, don't get involved. Don't get involved with the dealings with the Jews. So Amrullah, he says to his mom, Mayi, what do you mean anything they ask for, they get? What does it mean that they get from their master, from God? Describe it to me. So she says, Boy Rachmi Vasi Mitra. For example, they daven and rain comes. Amar Allah, he said back to his mother, Homishum de Zimna de Mitrahu. The reason why is because that's during the rainy season. Eli Bo Rachmi Aidna Batkufa Tamuz Velesi Mitra. Let's see them request, Libo Rachmi request mercy today, daven today. During the Tkufas Tamas, right now it's Tamas, so it's during the summer months. Right now, during the summertime, Davin, blessing Mitra. And let's see rain come. Now, again, you guys are in America, so there probably is fairly often rain in the summertime. But in Israel and in Babel as well, it was not a common phenomenon. Rain does not come often in Babel. And therefore, it would be a very big, unusual event if they were davening, that would happen. So now this Ifra Hormuz was, she liked the Jewish people, and she wanted to pass the message on to Rava. So Shalchu Le the Rava, she sends the Rava a message, Kivein Da'atcha Ubay Rachmi, the Lesi Mitra. Go get yourself ready, me have Kavana, and ask for mercy that rain should come. So Boy Rachmi Lasi Mitra. So rain, he davened, and rain did not come. Amalafanav, so now Rava says now to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Elokim Ba'azneinu Shamanu Avoseinu Sipru Lanu. Still part of the quote. God, in our ears we have heard, our ancestors have reported to us. Po'el pu'lat pa'alta b'yimeyim, b'yimey kedem. You have done works, I mean, you've done miracles in their days long ago, b'yimey kedem. Vanu beinenu lo reinu, but us in our days, we've never seen it. Asa mitra adeshvoch marzubi de tzipure lediglas. So after making this request with quoting this pasuk from Tehillim and begging Hashem, rain came, and so much rain came adeshvoch marzubi de tzipure or de machuza, according to the Gersh Vyavik, because words in Israel, machuza is in Babel. So until the so much rain came that the marzubi, the gutters of Machuza, instead of the word Sipuri, were overflowing the Diglas, which is to the Tigris River. Asa Avua, so his father came, Ischele Bechalme, in a dream, and he appeared to him in a dream. Rava's father appeared to him in a dream. Amrele, Mi'ika Dimitra Kamishmai Kulihai. Who is it that is causing so much burden in Shemayim, meaning that you're asking about his Baruch Hu to perform miracles on your behalf? Who's doing that? Amrle, and the father says to his son, Shani duchtecha, change your place. Now, what does it mean, change your place? It's going to mean change your place. We'll see in a minute. Change your where you sleep. Don't sleep in your bed tonight. And that's what happened in the end. So Shani duchte, he did not sleep. He changed where he slept that night. Lemachar, the next day, Ashche demirsham puraya purya b'sakhinim. The next day, he found that his bed, purya is his bed, Mirsham was marked up with sakin with knives, meaning that there was knife marks, like slash marks, all over his bed. Rashi explains that there was a shade. There were shadim. There were these spiritual creatures that came in to hurt Rava because he was, quote unquote, burdening Shemayim. He was asking for miracles from Shemayim, and that's something that we do not do as people. Again, even though it's true, there were people. When people need rain, they need rain. You want to ask for it. But in our case over here, they didn't really need rain. It was during the summer, the non-raising season. He just wanted to show himself, not bragging-wise, but he wanted to show himself to back up himself, the Jewish people, versus the king. Yaron, what do you got?
Why do we hear so many stories of, like, these non-Jews who are like, oh, Hashem's like the God and all this, but then they don't convert?
It's an excellent question. The short of it, I think, the good question, the short of it is that converting is not something that we don't recommend. We don't recommend it at all. Actually, we push people away from converting if they try to convert. We're happy for them to keep the laws, the Noahide laws, and be good people and charitable people and helpful people. But converting is a big burden for them. And if it's a burden for them, it's a burden for us. Meaning, if they convert and don't keep all the mitzvahs, it's not helpful to anybody. So therefore, even people who appreciate the Jews, doesn't mean we want them to or that they want to convert. Again, you could be someone who believes in God, but still feels like you know, you have what to do in the world you live in today, and converting would be a radical decision that you're not ready for. And we embrace that. We embrace your decision to stay where you are and be a good person, you know, be a kind person. Converting is a lot of achrayas to everyone involved. Aaron Bluestein, what do you got?
This could be a little bit of a stretch, but the fact that it was the summertime and this the mother of this king said that, like, they pray for rain and it comes. Was that implying that even in the summer they still request or ask for rain?
It didn't mean to, because when he said that the God listened to them. So she didn't offer, the king says, her son, what do you mean God listens to them? So he said that they'll daven for rain and it comes. So he'll say, yeah, because they always daven for rain in the rainy season. That's why it comes then. It wouldn't work now. And that's why she responded as she did. Okay. New story, new rabbi. Rav Papa Gazal Tanisa Blo Asa Mitra. Again, Rav Papa declared a fast and it did not rain. Chalach Libei, he became weak, meaning he was fasting and it wasn't raining and he was weak. And it says, Sharaf Pincha de Daisa. He swallowed, Sharaf is a swallow, Pincha de Daisa, a spoonful of cereal, of porridge. Ubar Rachmi, he davened more. But it didn't rain. Now, again, he davened after he took a, he broke his fast. He ate a little bit because he was very, feeling very weak, and then he davened. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Ushpazti. Isharif mar Pincha Chrisi de Daisa Asi Mitra. Maybe if you swallow another spoonful of rain, a spoonful of porridge, of cereal, maybe then it'll rain if you eat another one. Meaning he was basically, I don't say mocking, but mocking that here he is eating food before he's davening, you know, because he's trying to fast so that it rains, and he's taking a snack before he starts. Maybe another bite will help help rain come. Now, that made him feel very silly, obviously, the Rav. He felt very silly. He was embarrassed. He felt very, very, you know, shamed. And then rain came. So we see over here that sometimes we mentioned it a few times that when people are shamed, rain comes. Now again, how do you look at this Rav Nachman bar Ushpazti? Was he doing it to try to make fun of the person? Was he doing it to try to humble the person? Who knows? You know, we can look at it either way, but out of Dan Lakav's chus, we'll look at it as he was trying to make the person feel ashamed of what he did. So maybe the shame that he felt, as we've seen a few times in the past already, that is necessary in order for rain to come, to feel like no one's listening to you. Hashem is listening to you, and you feel defeated. And that level of shame, that humility, sometimes comes attached to rain as well. Okay. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Now, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa can be one of the major players now of the next few lines we have, the next part of the Gemara we have. We'll see. He was a big tzaddik, and he had a lot of things happen on his behalf. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he was going on the way, asim mitra, and it started to rain. I'm the founder of Sholem. The whole world is very happy. We live in an agricultural world. They need rain for their sustenance, for their produce. They're all happy. But Chanina, me, I'm a little bit sad right now. I'm getting drenched. Pasuk Mitra. The rain stopped. Kimata Lebese. When he got home, Amar Lefanei Ribono Shel Olam. He says back to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam. Kolam Kula Betzar. The rest of the world is in pain now because they need rain. It's not raining. Chanina Benachas. And I'm fine with it because I don't have, says Rashi, I don't have fields anyways. It doesn't affect me either way. And I'm indoors right now. So I feel bad. The rest of the world is bizarre. Only I'm okay with this. So Gemara says, so Asa Mitra. So again, the rain came back down again. Now, this is a very interesting thing that Hashem stopped the rain for a traveler, because we'll see in a minute that the Kohen Gadol used to daven that Hashem shouldn't listen to the travelers praying not to have rain, because we need rain sometimes. And the travelers don't want it, but we shouldn't. Like, if you ever go to Israel sometimes, when it starts to rain, you don't have a jacket, you feel like bad. You don't want to be like, oh no, it's raining. But oh no, it's raining because you don't have a jacket on. But it's good that it's raining in Israel usually. So we have this feeling. So sometimes passerby or travelers will like, you know, ask for it not to rain. And we see, that's what Chanina Bedosa did. But we also know, as we're recording now, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Maya Handele Tzlusa the Kohen Gadol, Gabi Chanina Bedosa. What benefit is there of the davening of the Kohen Gadol regarding or opposite that of Chanina Bedosa? I will see in a minute, the Kohen Gadol used to daven that Hashem should not listen to the passerbyers, to the travelers, when they ask it not to rain, because, you know, the world does need rain. But we see over here, Rechim Mendoza's koach was so strong that even the Kohen Gadol say, don't listen to people like Rechim Mendoza. It was overridden by Rechim Mendoza's tefillah. Did not learn a Mishnah, I have his palace from Yuma, I have his palace tefillah, but Sarah Vesachitzon. When the Kohen Gadol was finishing his avodah on Yom Kippur, he would say a small little tefillah in the external part of the Beis HaMikdash, where he was leaving from. My Mati, what did he daven for? So Rav Bar Ada, these two Bar Adas, two sons of Ada, they both said Mishmeidu Rav Yehuda, they both call Rav Yehuda as saying, the tefillah starts like this. Yiratu b'fanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetehei hashana zu gishuma v'shchuna. That this year should be a year of great rain and great heat. Gemara says, shchuna, now the Gemara takes a pause and says, whoa. Shchunim al Yasi, is great heat a good thing? Adrabah, on the contrary, Griusi, it's usually a bad thing. Having a lot of heat, it could actually hurt the crops. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing to have great heat. Ella, rather, what was the tefillah? It was, Im Shchuna Tegishuma Utlula. If it is very hot, it should be a lot of rain and a strong amount of dew to counter the heat. And then the part we bring this up for, the tefillah continued. Do not accept the tefillah of people who are traveling. Again, this is the part here that we brought this whole sugi in for, because the Kohen Gadol realizes people who are traveling, sometimes they don't want to have rain, but the world needs rain. So the Kohen Gadol is asking Hashem not to accept the tefillah of those who are traveling, who are going to ask you not to bring the rainfall. But we see over here, Bichni Madosa, his tefillah overrode that of the Kohen Gadol, obviously, because Hashem did listen to him, even though he was a traveler, and Hashem stopped the rain on his behalf. Rav Acha Braid the Rav, Messiah Mishmei the Rav Yehuda. Rav Acha, the son of Rav, finished off the tefillah, and he quoted Rav Yehuda how the tefillah should be finished off the Kohen Gadol. Lo Yadi Avir Shulta Midbeis Yehuda, which means that the designation, Yadi is like designated, of Shulton, of the rulership, should not pass from Beis Yehuda, meaning it should not Beis Yehuda should the people of the tribe of Yehuda should not lose its ruling. And the Jewish people should not require help from each other, or from anyone else for that matter. I mean, you should have sustenance for the whole Klal Yisrael. They should not need people to give them handouts. They should be able to provide for themselves. Okay. Rav Yehuda, we're still Rav Chaim Mendoza, we're still going on about him. Rav Yehuda, Amarav, V'chol yom v'yom baskol yotzeis omeris kol alam kulo nizom b'shkel chanina b'ni v'chanina b'ni dair b'kav charuv m'er Shabbos l'er Shabbos. That there used to be a baskol every day that would come out and they would say, the entire world is only sustained because of my son Chanina, Rav Chaim Mendoza. But my son Chanina, Rav Chaim Mendoza, dayo, it's enough for him to have a kav, which is a measurement of charuvim. Charuvim is like a carob tree. We had the word charuvim beforehand with the Rip Van Winkle story, the famous story of Achoni Amalia. Enough to have a certain amount of caribs, but Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, over the course of the week. So Hashem sustains the entire world with all the delicacies the world has in it, and all the sweets the world has in it. And it's all for Chanina, when he himself only takes advantage of caribs every single week, a certain amount of caribs. We're still back from Chaim Mendoza. The Rav Mendoza was very, very poor. And his wife, the Beisu, his wife was very accustomed to heat up the oven every Erev Shabbos, Komali de Shabbos, the Shaji Akhtarsa. And she used to throw something in that would cause a lot of smoke. So people would see a lot of smoke coming from the house of Rav Mendoza. They would think that there was a lot cooking on Erev Shabbos. But really, nothing was cooking in Erev Shabbos. They had nothing. And she did it Mishum Kisufa. She was embarrassed. On top of Chafei Manal. She was very embarrassed that she didn't have so much food and she didn't even know that. So she used to stoke up her oven and put some smoky causing thing in there. And people would walk by, oh, the Mendoza family is clearly cooking for Shabbos right now. But really, there's nothing going on and she's just embarrassed. Havala hachshiv vasa bishta. The word bishta means the word ra, like lishna bisha is lashon hara. So they had a mean neighbor. She had a mean neighbor. Amra, she said to herself, the neighbor said to herself, Michti, Yadan the less lublo midi. I know, let's see, I know they have nothing in that house. They're poor as poor can be. My kulihai, what is all the smoke? What is going on in the house? So Azla Batarfa Abava, she went and she knocked on the door. Abava's the door, Tarfa's to knock, she knocked on the door. Ichsafa, now again, her wife was embarrassed because nothing was cooking in the oven for real, and she didn't want to answer the door. So Va'aili on Drunya. She went into her inner room, like to kind of hide from the door area. She didn't want anyone to see her. She wanted to answer the door for her neighbor. He saw bin La Nisa, but a miracle took place. The Chazi Latanura Mali Lachma, the Agna Mali Lisha. The neighbor peeked into the house, and a nace happened. The neighbor saw the oven full of bread, and the Agna, which is where you knead the dough, was Mali Lisha, was full of dough. It was a miracle. That's what she saw. Amra La. So the neighbor says to wife of Mendoza, Palnisa, Palnisa, Madame, Madame, I see Masa de Kacharich Lachmech. Bring your your utensil, your equipment, because your lachmech, your bread is charich, is burning. It's burning in the oven. Amrullah. So the wife of Mendoza said, Af ana lahachi aili. That's why, for this is why I went up. This is why I went up to get the utensils to clear out the oven. Tana, it was taught. Truth is, she did go for that reason. She really did go to bring her shovel. Mirda's like a shovel or her whatever equipment she uses to kick the bread out of the oven. She did go for that reason. Nation Lumeda's Benisim. Because she was someone who saw Nisim around her house all the time. She knew that when this woman came to embarrass her, that Hashem would have her back. And that the woman would see things that were in there through miracles. And therefore, she did go to get her shovel or her whatever she used to peel the bread off the side of the wall of the oven, which is how they make the bread back in the day, because she knew that they would Hashem would provide a miracle for her because to avoid the embarrassment. Amra le divisu, the separate story. The wife of Rabbi Mendoza says to him, "Imas nezel v'nistar kuli hai. How long does it mean till we're suffering so much? We have nothing in our house. How long is it going to last for?" Amr la my navi. What should we do? So she says, "Then by rachmi dinasiv dinisvu lachmidi. So why don't we daven that Hashem should give us something?" So by rachmi. So they davened. Yatsa kmin pisas yad. Crazy story. Something, it looked like a palm of a hand came out of heaven. Yavu lechad kara dipsura de dava. And he gave to Rabbi Mendoza one leg of a golden table, meaning a table has legs that keep it standing. It was a golden table, apparently, because it was a golden leg that was handed him from Shemayim. Now, as we said a long time ago, when you see a God like these, whatever it means, I have no idea. But I can tell you it means something very deep. A God says are usually where a lot of the important lessons of life are hidden, and there's Svarim written called the Enyaku is a very popular one, all about what to make out of these gazas. We're not going to spend time right now doing them, but some people actually have learned every Shabbos, learned in Yaakov, to understand from Chazal what the lessons were, what the messages were supposed to be taken from these gazas. Says the Gemara. Chazya b'chalma. So now Rabbi Kim Adosa is talking over here. It's not Chazya B'chalma who's talking, but Kuzma says, "I saw in a dream, Asidi Tzadiki da'achli aptura d'dava." In the future, Asidi, in the future, I mean, Olam Haba, the Tzaddikim are going to eat on a golden table, these like flaskari that has three legs. But the Ihu, but he, meaning Rechim Nedosa, Ochel's Aptura de Trekari, he's going to eat on a table with only two legs. Because you're going to take, like I mentioned the last time, you remember, when you have Nisim happen for you and you enjoy those benefits, sometimes you might be using up some of your Olam Haba. So you're taking one of your legs from your golden table in Shemayim and you're using it in this world. So Amar La, he says to her, Michla Lech, the Mechla Achli, Kuli Alma Aptura de Mishalim, V'anan Aptura de Mechzar. Are you comfortable with everyone else eating on a full table? And we're eating with only a part table? You know, we're not going to be having our full table here. And either it means in this world or in Shemayim. Are you comfortable with that? So she says, Amra Leish, she says back to him, Umar Nabi, what are we going to do? I mean, we already got the golden chair, the golden table, the golden leg. Too late. So he says, Boy Rachmi, V'nashalinu Minach, let's daven that he should take it back. So Boy Rachmi, so they did that, V'shaklu, and the hand came back in and took the table leg away, leaving them as being still very, very poor. And the Gemara now comments on that second miracle. Tana, Gadol Haya Neis Achro Nyotim Rishon. The second miracle is a bigger miracle than the first miracle. The Gmiri Dimehav Yavi, because we know that Hashem gives. But Mishkol LaShakli, we never heard about Kadosh Baruch Hu taking afterwards. That's something that we don't really hear of. So again, the whole story was a need for sustenance. Hashem sends this golden leg to provide for them. They realize this golden leg will be taken from the Sechus and Shemayim, and they say, you know what? Better we stay here in this world with lacking and have a full table in Olam Haba. And Hashem miraculously took back the gift he gave them and was happy for them to return it to Shemayim, to their ultimate Olam Haba table in the future. Okay. The Gemara now goes on another story. This is actually a pretty famous story of Rechim Mendoza. Maybe you've heard it in the past. Chad Be Shamshi, one Erev Shabbos, Rashi explained to me. One Erev Shabbos, like right being a Shemashos time, like very close to nightfall. Chazi Lebarte Davos Atziba. He saw his daughter was very sad. Amrla Biti, Lamaya Tzivas, what are you so sad about? Amrla Le, she says to her father, Kli Shal Chometz Nischalevli B'Kli Shal Shemen. I made a mistake. I switched the vinegar jar with the oil jar. I took by accident vinegar with me instead of oil to light Shabbos candles. We'd like to be men of oil of Shabbos, and I plan on lighting that for Shabbos. It's not going to work. Amrla Le, he said to her, Biti, Meich Balach, what do you care? The same one, meaning because Baruch Hu, we created oil, that oil is flammable and oil lights, can also tell chometz to light also. It's the same God. It's no bigger of a big deal for God to have oil, to have vinegar light than oil light. Tana, and it was taught, it was taught that it lasts, not only did it light, but it lasted the entire day, the entire Shabbos, the whole Shabbos, and until Motzei Shabbos. They even brought another candle for Abdullah, and they lit off their Abdullah candle from that candle. Rashi, your point out something interesting. They blew out the other candle though because they didn't want to use it beyond what they had to. I mentioned earlier on again that there's an idea that you don't want to use Nisan more than you need to. So they actually blew out the candles. We saw earlier on also with the whole grain, the whole sand turning into grain. We do not want to take part if we can avoid it of miracles taking place. Does not mean if you're in the Holocaust and someone is threatening you that you shouldn't take a miracle to escape you. Whatever you have to do to get out, you get out. But we should try to limit the amount of pleasure we get when the Kadosh Baruch Hu changes laws of nature to protect his people. Bechini Medosa, yeah, Pop, sorry.
So the story we talked about yesterday where the seeds were placed in the silo and it became abundant and they were told to only eat what they needed, correct?
Yeah.
Eat the other stuff. But isn't even eating what they needed for themselves taking from a miracle?
Excellent question. Excellent question. The answer is yes. The answer is certainly yes. Now, what? How does one weigh? How much cash? Should I take anything at all? Should I take nothing at all? It's an excellent question. It's a question I think requires a lot more thought than I'm going to give it right now. So maybe we have to get back to it. But just to hear the question, Chevra, it's a good question to ask and a question to think about a little bit. Is on one hand that if we assume that any miracle that you get benefit out of, it does take away some skills from Shemayim, on one hand. Therefore, we don't want to do that. On the other hand, we do see, even the story we read above, you know, they were able to use the candle lighting of vinegar. Now, they didn't use anything after that. They blew it out. They didn't take the extra miracle, but the original lighting also was a miracle, and they did use that. And we told the story yesterday with the grains growing in the storehouse over there, and they did use a portion of it. Again, not too much, but a portion, but still a portion. They still use something. How does one make that decision of what you use and what you don't use? Especially if you say using it takes things away from you, and why use any of it up? It's an excellent question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, but the lighting issue is a different issue, though, because you already lit the substance, whatever the substance was. It's not as if you're taking or giving. It's happening. Fair. The miracle will happen, and you're not going to blow it out. You just leave it alone.
They blew it out, so they wouldn't get any extra hana out of it afterwards.
But, correct. But then you're acting actually in contrary to a miracle, and I don't know if you should do that either.
Well, no, you use the miracle already for what you needed it for. You got it. You got what you did already, which is you got the light you needed. And you don't want anything extra. You don't want to take part of it. Any extra light in that. We light candles on Shabbos because we want to use the benefit of the light. So we light candles on Shabbos. That's the purpose of lighting. That's what sometimes people like kind of question, why do you light it when you have your lights on in your house? You shouldn't have your lights on maybe when you light your candles for Shabbos. You want to get hana out of the candles. But they got that already. But it's a good question. It's an excellent question. We'll have to think about it a little more maybe. Okay. Chimadosa. Back to Chimadosa again. A few more minutes and we're done. Chimadosa. Havale Hanach Izi. He had some goats. Amrule. Kamifsadon. They say that his neighbor said to him, your goats are causing us loss. Our fields are being eaten by your goats. So now he wasn't sure if that was true or not. Amar, he said, Ikamifsadon. If it's true that my goats are causing damage, then let the bears eat them. I mean, the goats should be killed. V'ilo, and if you're lying to me and it's not true, then kol chada v'chada tesi la'orsa duba b'karnayu, then let every one of my goats bring in the evening time a bear like on their horns, like let them kill a bear and bring it here, which is obviously a big miracle and something that would not happen in natural circumstances. And that would happen, that would be a sign that the goats were not causing damage to anyone's fields. And that's what happened. La'ursa, Aisi, Kochad, Mechad, Aduba, Bekarnayim. And again, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected and showed the world, Rechim Adosa, his goats were not the ones that were causing damage by bringing this unbelievable thing of having the bears be impaled on the horns of the goats and showing that to the neighbors that they had lied about it, which they knew about themselves already. Havleahi Shibivasa. The Kabanya Besa. Again, Rechim Adosa is still about his Sitka's righteousness. There was this neighbor, again, not a mean one, but a regular neighbor, that of Rechim Adosa, the Kabanya Besa. She was building a house. Lo Matu Kshure. And I guess when she measured the beams, she made a mistake, and the beams did not arrive. Matu was to arrive. Didn't reach the edge. It didn't carry the whole way of the house. So the beams were not really set up and proper for the structure of the house. Asa Kame, she comes in front of her, Rechim Adosa, Amrle, Benisi Besa, Velo Kamatu Kshurei. I built a home, but the beams don't reach the end of the home. Amrullah, he says to her, Mashmech, what's your name? Amrullah, Aichu. Name is Aichu. Aiku. Amr Aiku, Nimtu Kshurech. Aiku, your beams should reach. Tane was taught, Higiyu Achiyatu Amalakam Amalakanam. They reached, but they overextended themselves where it became like a clear, didn't just reach, but it overextended even an Amma on each side, the beam from Amma on each side. Amalakam Amalakan. The Yesh Omer, and some say, Snifin Asalm, that they made them in sections where the sections were able to kind of, it was they added sections on, were allowed, not didn't extend like that, but sections were added on, so Rashi explains over here, where it kind of like gave it more mass and it helped it extend. And now, just as a story that sounds, Tana Plimomer, Plimo stated, Aniri Isio Sobai, I actually saw that house. Babi Korosav, Yotos Amukam, Amukam. I did see that there was an Amma sticking out each direction, that it was longer even than the house demanded it should be. And for Amuli, and people told me, oh, Baizah, Shakira, Rabbi Chanina Bedosa. This was the house Rabbi Chanina Bedosa arranged and set up with his prayer, with his tefillah. Okay, last part over here. Rabbi Chanina Bedosa, Mehechan Habla Yizim. We're going to ask a question. How did Rabbi Chanina Bedosa have goats? We said before, Va'ani Amuli. Right? He had no, money. Va'od Amru Cham, Me'ein Megadim, Behem Adaka Beretov. We also say, Cham say, you should not raise Behema Daka, which are smaller animals in Eretz Yisrael. The reason why is because they will usually get out and graze on their friends' fields, and it could be theft. So you shouldn't have animals. So Gemara says, Amar Pinchas Masav Amar Adam Echad Al Pesach Beisum. It was a story. One time, a guy went by Rechim Yosef's house, Veiniach Sham Tana Golan, and he left by accident some roosters. Mutzasam Ishto Shor Rechim Yosef. Rechim Yosef's wife found these roosters. So Amar La, and he said to her, Al Tochli Mi Bitzayim, do not eat the eggs. Because it's not ours. V'harbu beitzim v'tarna golan. And so therefore, as you can imagine, there are more eggs that grew, and more roosters and chickens hatched, and more grew and more hatched. V'yim mitzar to some, and it was causing a big pain to the Rabbi Chaim Medos and his wife. U'machron, they sold them. But they did so in order to get the guy back his product. U'makarim v'demand, ezim, and they bought with the money goats. Pam achas avar oso adam sh'avdim min v'tarna golan. One time, this guy who lost his tarna golan came by. He realized, oh my gosh, I never picked up my tarna golem. I left outside here. He tells his friends, oh my gosh, this is where I left the tarna golem years ago. He heard that this person said that. Simon, do you have a sign that they were yours? Can you describe to me what it looked like, the tarna golem? How many there were? Give me some descriptive feature. He said, yeah. Simon, he gave him the simon, and the simon was right. The Natal Es Ha'azin, and he gave him over the goats. The Heinen Izei Da'isu Dubei B'Kanayon. These were the famous goats that we described beforehand, that the Dubim, the bearers, were impaled on their horns. That we mentioned before that showed that they did not really steal in people's fields around them. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll deal with this tomorrow. Shkoyach, everyone. A great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Question?
When everybody drops off, I do have a question for you.